The feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter number 6 is a text that no doubt has been preached from many times. And I'm going to give you a lesson this morning, a very practical thought out of this. We've been looking at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ through the eyes of John and the way that John portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see yet another miracle of the Lord that is performed. Now, I want you to understand something. When you think about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, it was a very simple, yet a very large-scale miracle. Many times Jesus was dealing with just one individual, so to speak, that was faced with the problem. But here we see that Jesus is dealing with 5,000 men beside the women and children. Many different estimates, some estimate somewhere possibly between 20 to 25,000 people that Jesus is standing before right here. We know for a fact that there was at least 5,000 men that were present. I want to look this morning, first of all, I want you to look at the situation that is at hand. The Bible said that Jesus looked and saw a great company, and he asked one of his disciples, he said, "Where are we going to buy bread? How are we going to meet the need of hunger that these people are placed with?" Now, I want you to think about this. This situation that these people are dealing with in the realm of their hunger is a very common situation. It is a very common situation. A miracle does not have to be in the shape or the form of a life or an individual that is lifeless getting up out of the casket to be a miracle. A miracle does not have to be in the shape of an individual that is covered with leprosy to be a miracle. A miracle does not have to be in the shape of a demolished car and you walking away from it without a scratch on your body to be a miracle. Jesus does common miracles every day of our life. Your miracle may be in the shape, it may be in the shape of an electric bill. Your miracle this morning may be in the shape of a gas gauge that is sitting near empty. Your miracle that you need this morning, it may be in the shape of a meal that is not there right now and you're wondering exactly where it's going to come from. A miracle today does not have to be something extravagant as we think it should, but every day of our life when Jesus reaches down in the midst of our common needs, we see that it's a miracle. We see in this situation that it was common. It was just a simple thing. They were hungry. We see in this situation that there was a company. Let me say that there was more than one person there that was hungry. You're not the only person this morning that's wondering how you was going to get enough gas money to get to church. Now, you may not be there, but I've been there. Hey, you're not the only person that's wondered how you was going to get all the bills taken care of and how all the needs were going to get met. You're not the only one. There's other people around that have dealt with the same problem. Yeah, this morning there's people sitting in here that are wondering how you're going to make it next week. There's some of you here wondering how everything's going to add up at the end of the month. There's some of you here this morning, and I know what it's like to think in my mind, okay, I've got enough gas to get to church. I've got enough gas to get to work on Monday morning. What am I going to do on Tuesday? We've tried to figure it out. You're not the only one that's dealt with that. There's a great host of people that are there that have a common problem. I know it's just hunger. I know it's just a meal that's not been taken care of. But all of them seemingly have the same problem. But Jesus is interested in every one of them's common menial needs that most people would think nothing about. The situation that they're faced with is a common problem. There's a company involved in the situation. Let me say number two, we don't just see the situation, but we see the saints. Here's the saints now. He speaks to Philip and he says, "Philip, how are we going to feed these people? Where are we going to buy bread?" And the saints are thinking, first of all, they're thinking logically. Well, 200 pennyworth. Well, let's see, I'm hungry. I need gas to get to work. I need this and I need that. Here's the money that I got. It does not add up. They're thinking logically. Is that not like us as Christians? Every time that we're faced with a need in our life, the first thing that we run to is human logic to try to figure it out. Now, God gives us human logic and God gives us work and gives us the opportunity. Don't bypass and don't look over God's way of meeting your need. But the first thing we run to when we're sick is the doctor. And the first place we run to when we have a need that needs to be figured out, we run to human logic to try to determine how the need is going to be met. So here's the thing, the saints now being good Christians, we've got to figure it out logically. We need more than 200 pennyworth. It's not enough, sufficient to take care of the need, Lord. Not only were they thinking logically, but they were thinking little. Look at what he said now. He said 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient enough for them, that every one of them may just take even just a little. They're not only thinking logically, but they're thinking small. They're thinking little. They are thinking with a logical mind and thinking about how that they can just barely get enough to get by. But Jesus has never done anything that was just enough just to get by. He's always been more than enough. We always think on the not enough side instead of the more than enough side. That's the way we think as Christians. So we see the saints now, the situation, it's a common situation. It's a situation that involves a company of people. More than one person is faced with the problem. The saints are standing there thinking logically. They're thinking little. They're thinking small. And then we see the solution walks up. In verse number 8, the Bible said that whenever one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And what are they among so many? The solution just walked up. Now this solution was an unsightly solution. It was in the form of a lad. It was in the form of something that nobody thought that the need could have ever been met out of that solution. Now, maybe a big strapping man that had lots of money and jewelry that walked up packing a bag like this full of money, yeah, he might be the solution. But this was an unsightly solution. When they looked at it, they saw that this was a lad. It was in the form of a lad. Not only was it unsightly, but it was unlikely solution. Because not only was it a lad, but he said he's only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now it's very unlikely that 5 loaves and 2 fishes are going to feed 5 people, let alone 5,000 beside women and children. So it's unlikely that the solution that has been brought forth is going to take care of the need that is at hand. It was an unsightly solution. It was an unlikely solution, but it was not an unwilling solution. For even though this child was but a lad, and even though all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he was willing to be the solution to the problem of over 5,000 people. How many of you this morning are willing to be the solution to a need that somebody has? How many of you got a dial my call from the church yesterday? How many of you got that yesterday that went out from Brother Mo? I got it. A need that was manifested. And you look around and I'm telling you, when I don't see a bunch of rich people. I don't see a bunch of people that have a lot of means. But I see today people that God wants to use to meet the need of other individuals' lives. Amen. So we see the solution is seen. It's unsightly. It's a lad. It's unlikely that it's enough. It's only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But it wasn't unwilling to be used by the Lord. Then we see the Savior steps on the scene. Now everything begins to take a change. You see, the solution has walked up and everybody's shaking their head saying there's no way. You see, the solution is standing there with what they have to meet the need, and everybody's shaking their head and saying no way. But then the Savior steps on the scene. And first of all, you see the Savior's command in verse number 10. He said, make the men sit down. Make the men sit down. Sit down in the grass. Now, how important is that? Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever sat down at the table when there was no food to eat, but yet you sit down anyway? Sometimes God may want you to just go on and as if everything is going to be okay, even though you may not know that it's going to be okay. He said, you sit down. Everybody sit down. It's time to eat. But Lord, there's not enough food. Hey, it's time to eat. Sit down. It's time to eat. But the solution is not sufficient. Lord, the solution is not enough. It was given by a lad, Lord. It's not enough. There's only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there's 5,000 people, Lord, that need to be fed. Just sit down, prepare the table, and let God do the rest. He gives them a command. This is an act of faith on your part. When there is not enough, when there's not enough gas to get to church and make it to work the next day, but you go to church anyway. Whenever I've heard Brother Wells give the testimony when they first moved up here, and he said they didn't have any food. They didn't know what they were going to do, but they sit down and they ask the Lord to bless the food and to help them. And it wasn't just a couple minutes. Here comes Brother Ronnie walking in with a bucket of chicken. He didn't know why he was doing it, but I'm telling you, there's something about when God says just sit down, prepare everything, this is the way it needs to be. Just get ready. Just get ready. Amen. He gave them a command. Number 2, not only did he give a command, but he took control. Look at what he said in verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves. Now, as long as the solution passes through the hand of God, before it passes through the hand of somebody else, it's always going to be enough. Now, it was very significant that this solution passed through the hand of God before it ever got to the disciples. But Jesus said, sit down. And then he took the loaves. You see, it makes all the difference in the world when that $5 passes through the hand of God before it reaches out to somebody else. It makes all the difference in the world when the solution is not really a solution, but when it gets in the hands of God and it begins to be distributed, thank God, it'll be more than enough to meet the need. And let me say this very quickly, that when you're faced with a need and he's got the solution in hand, he will not withhold it from you. Now, there's things we want that we do not have, but he said that he would supply all our need according to his riches and glory. So when he got it in his hand, he did not hoard it up for himself. Oh no, for every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of light, and whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So Jesus took control. The solution went into the hand of God, and the hand of God distributed out. My, can you imagine in your mind what it must have looked like as he began to break that bread? The first thing that he did was bless it. We are told in the other gospels, the second thing he did was he broke it. And as he began to break it and distribute it to the others, the solution was placed in the hand of God and it became enough. Amen. He took control. After he took control, we see that they were contented. The Bible said in verse number 12, when they were filled. The Bible said in verse number 11, and likewise, of the fishes as much as they would.
Amen.
The solution was more than enough. The solution contented everyone that partook of the miracle that took place.
Amen.
When Jesus gets in the picture, it's always sufficient enough to fulfill. Not just to feel, but to fulfill. There's a big difference there. Now, I thought about this. There have been times I've needed $100 and God has gave me $100. But that $100 was as fulfilling as $1,000 would have been. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it is enough for God to take care of the need.
Amen.
He doesn't have to do abundantly more, even though He does many times. But just to know that the need has been met, it is fulfilling. These people had enough to content them. They were contented. And then we see, last of all, there was a confirmation that took place. The Bible said when this happened that these people said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Now, there's a lot of times that if we could take care of it, we would take the credit for it. I've heard some of us do it. Yeah, I worked 87 hours last week. That's good. I done this and I done that. Oh, I got bills. Yeah, I got to go work. I got bills. Hey, who gave you the work? Who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you the privilege to work? Who gave you the job in 2011 when it's hard to find a job? It was God that did it. When it came down to the end, they took five loaves, they took two fishes, and they added together and they come up with seven. Then they divided that by 5,000. And they put the equal sign out there, and the only thing that would fit was God. You couldn't say anything else. Because if I said before, God, He doesn't think the way that we think. He doesn't work out problems the way that we work them out logically. He doesn't do that. He doesn't think. He adds five and two together and somehow He gets over 5,000 beside women and children. I don't know how He does it, but He does it. We take our human logic and we think in a way of the way that we have learned English, and we walk up to somebody and we say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the loss of your loved one. But Jesus walks up and He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He doesn't think humanly. He doesn't use human logic like we use it. He takes all the history that we've learned and we say in AD 72, and Jesus looks up and says, before Abraham was, I am. Scientists stand up and say, we've discovered, but Jesus said, in the beginning I created.
Amen.
He doesn't think with human logic. So I had it all up this morning. The solution, hey, it might come in an unsightly form.
Right.
It might come in an unlikely form. But if somebody, just you, maybe me, would be willing to be used by God, and we would allow that gift, that solution, to pass through the hand of God and be distributed out, you'd be amazed today what God can do. I'm not talking about needing money to go buy Christmas and not pay your bills. I'm not talking about those things. What I'm talking about is the true problems that you and I are faced with on a daily and weekly basis. I mean, I know I'm not crazy this morning to think that I'm the only one that's ever wondered where the money was going to come by for groceries.
Amen.
I'm not the only one. Hey, we've been faced with a need here in the last couple of years. I've been fighting with, and I have no idea, still don't know exactly what's going to be taken, what's going to happen, but I know this. It may be an unlikely source, may not seem like a significant source, but if it can ever get through the hand of God, it'll be enough.
Amen.
And when the end of the day is done and we all lay our head down to go to rest, we can all be filled with satisfaction, knowing that God has met the need.
Amen.
You say it's just a common need, Brother Calloway. It's not a big deal. It's just a little thing. Hey, God is in. Hey, it's large scale. There's 5,000 people, but there's individuals there. He's doing this for individuals. It's just about food. It's not about a child that's gone astray. Hey, he can take care of the son. Come down here, my child die. He took care of that. And he took care of the people that was just a little bit hungry. Doesn't matter what the need is this morning, Jesus is interested and concerned about you.